Bibles tonight, if you would please, to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. We're on the third stanza of a magnificent hymn of praise. When you come to Psalm 46, the psalmist is in trouble. He's in trouble. You ever been in trouble? You ever had trouble? You ever faced trouble? Matter of fact, the Bible says, Job says, that man is born into trouble as the sparks fly up. Or just as assuredly as you can throw wood on a fire and it begins to pop and crackle and the sparks begin to go up, that's as assuredly as there's going to be trouble as long as we're in this living this side of heaven. He says in Job 14 verse 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He lived 100 years compared to eternity. That's few days, but there's trouble. There's trouble. The psalmist is in a tight spot. He's in a squeeze. Look what the Bible says. Psalm 46, verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The psalmist was in a time of trouble, but he found that a truth that every one of us need to understand and discover in our own lives, and that's the fact that the Lord is with us. Two times in this psalm you find that phrase. Look at verse number 7. He said, the Lord of hosts is with us. Look down verse number 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. That's the refrain. That's the choral refrain. You have the three stanzas separated by the word silad, to pause, to meditate, to think on this, to ponder what's being said, and then to remember that in the midst of all of it, the Lord's with you. Aren't you glad that when you're in trouble, the Lord's with you? Amen. Isn't that good tonight? What joy to know that our God is with us. He's with us. We've learned that He's our sure helper. He's our sure helper. We notice that in our passage. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's the one who comes to the aid. That word help has the idea of coming to the aid of another. God is our refuge. Aren't you glad for that? We know the name of our helper, God. It's the English equivalent of the Hebrew name Elohim. It's the creative name of God, found over 2,500 times in the Old Testament, 32 times in 31 verses in Genesis chapter 1. Every time the Bible says, God said, let there be. The good news was there was. Isn't that amazing? And it's the God who created the universe who's your helper tonight. He's our refuge. He's the Almighty God. He is El Shaddai. He is the one who is enough. Isn't that a blessing? And then we learn something about His nature, the nature of our help, that He helps us personally. He's our refuge, our helper. He helps us powerfully. He's our strength. That the idea to be made strong. Paul recognized, he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Can I help you to understand that when your time of trouble, when you're weakest, God's at His strongest. When you can't, He can. When you don't think you can make it, can I tell you, you'll go on. You'll make it because of God. God's your helper. He's a powerful helper. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But then not only is He personally and powerfully, but presently. Look what He said. He said a very present help. It means in a time like this, whatever your trouble looks like, God is a present help. At that moment when you need Him, our God is there. Isn't it a blessing that God is there? God's there. And I'm encouraged by that. Then in the midst of whatever trouble that I face, I have a sure helper. The Lord is with me. Number two, we found as we looked at the second stanza of this particular hymn, He's a sufficient helper. Notice what He said, verse number two, therefore will not we fear. I'm just sort of giving you a recap. We're not going to fear. I love that. God is not the author of fear. Listen, if you have a spirit of fear in your life, it didn't come from God. Didn't come from God. No, He doesn't give the spirit of fear. We know who gives fear, don't we? We know who that is. When we look at this, we realize that therefore is a connector. It's reminding that because God is our helper, that not only is He a sure help, I can count on Him, I can depend on Him. Listen, vain is the help of man. Do you realize that man can fail? There's times, even as a pastor, I fail. I don't want to fail, but I do fail. But aren't you glad that God never fails? Never fails. People will disappoint you. God never will. He never will. Notice we see the comfort we have from Him. And it's promised. Verses 2 and 3 talks about, therefore we're not we fear. And then He uses some hyperbolic language. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, though the foam of the ocean in turmoil and be troubled, though the mountains shake, the crashing of the waves shaking the mountains, though they shake with the swelling thereof. He begins to talk about all of these things that about the mountains being carried away and something that we see as one of the most fixed and firm objects on the earth that's settled and established, being uprooted and sunk in the ocean's depths. You know what? It has the idea of life being turned upside down. You ever felt like your life was turned upside down? I'm glad there's a God who can turn it up right side up again, aren't you? Amen. He said, we're not going to be afraid. We're not. Our confidence in God should be unshaken. Look what he says in verse number 4. There is a river. We talked about that. There's a river. And we'll see that in a moment. He said, we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to fear. Our confidence is in God, who's our refuge and our strength. And if God's for us, who can be against us? That's the truth here. If God's for us, who can be against? He is the rock. Hey, can I tell you, the rocks of this world might shake, but can I tell you, the rock of who is our God, He'll never be moved, He'll never be shaken. And then we found that the provision of His comfort, verse 4, there is a river. There's a river. You know, whenever I think of a river, there's nothing like the sound of a river in the mountains crashing over the rock, you know, running over the rocks. I'm just telling you, there's nothing like it. Some of you go to sleep with sounds like that, don't you? You know, some of you are listening to oceans coming in and out, and some of you are listening to rain trickle down. How many of you do that? You've got those apps that do that kind of stuff. Some of you just got a fan blowing in your room, okay? I can't have anything, okay? I've got this obsessive and compulsive problem that if I hear any kind of irregular sound, I mean, it can be the beating of a heart and I can't go to sleep, okay? It's nuts, okay? I'll tell you a story. I was preaching up in... At the prayer events one year. I was one of the speakers and I was preaching there. Myself and Brother Vernon, we were rooming together. The speakers had a house, and so he had a room, I had a room, and our bedrooms were right next to each other, and I had to go out to a speaker's meeting. He went on to bed, and I'm going to tell you what, all night long, I mean, it was cold. I mean, it was so cold, you didn't even want to walk outside, and there was snow and ice and frost and all that stuff, and I just thought, sure, see, he's in another room. He can't deny any of this in here tonight. Because he's in a life group tonight. But anyway, I kept hearing this water run. Now listen, don't call me because I can't help you now. I am a former plumber, not a present plumber, okay? Did y'all catch that? Okay. So if you want me to fix anything, I can't anymore. It's been too long since I've done any of that stuff. You say, what do you do when you got plumbing problems? I call a plumber. That's what I do. And so anyway, I all night long, see, it worried me. I heard that water and I just knew outside the door, a pipe had busted. Burst. Sound like I was from Western North Carolina, didn't it? It just busted. And that water sprayed everywhere. I never slept. I got to speak the next day. I never slept a wink. I got up the next morning. I said, brother, I said, did you hear that water running all night long? He said, what water? He said, oh, you mean my app on my iPad that was trickling water all night long. I said, if I wasn't a preacher and you wasn't one of my staff members, I'd kill you. I never slept all night long. He'll deny it. You say anything about it, he'll deny it. He won't admit to it. I didn't even know they made such things of that night until after that night. But anyway, I was concerned about that camp's water. But aren't you glad there's a river? There's something soothing about a river. There's something refreshing about a river. There's something that speaks to us. And this river has tributaries. Look what he says. There's a river, the streams whereof. These are the smaller streams flowing off of the main river. It's the idea of the river of God's grace and God's mercy and God's help and God's rest and God's refreshment and His peace and His comfort and His joy. And then the tributaries, the small streams running off of the main river into our lives. And let me just tell you something. You will never drain the river of God's mercy and grace and comfort and help and joy. Our God, friend, can I tell you, what He is to us will never dry up. He's always sufficient. Isn't that a blessing? And then not only the comfort, but the confidence that he had. Notice what he says. There's a river, the streams whereof make glad, brings joy to the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God, I love this. God, aren't you glad God's in the midst? God is in the midst of her. I'm glad God is in the midst. Oh, when little Valor was born and the fear that must have went through their life, when little Lena's mom and daddy found out the fear that went through their lives about a child in the womb, a spina bifida, all of these things. And then you know what? The good news was that God was in the midst. Your trouble. See, everybody here tonight has a story. It's not just Valor. It's not just Lena. Everybody in this room, you've got a story. Aren't you glad God's in the midst?
Amen.
He's in the midst of your trouble. He's in the midst of your situation. He's faithful. When you need Him, He's there.
Amen.
He's there. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, He's standing next to you. He's with us now, our Lord. He is in the midst. And then He brings calmness to our lives. We saw that in verses 6 and 7. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When it seemed like all hope was gone, verse number 6, God was with them. God saw them through. He was there. Even when the God of Jacob, not the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, not prince with God, but swindler and trickster, not the spiritual one, but the carnal one, God was still. Aren't you glad that God's in the midst of our failures to pick us up, to move us forward? I'm glad failure isn't final with God, aren't you? All right, if I don't hurry, we're not going to get done, right? Let's talk number 3. This is fresh in you tonight. He's our sovereign helper. He's our sovereign helper. The final stanza of this anthem of praise is going to be sandwiched between the chorus of the song that's repeated in verses 7 and 11. Verses 7 and 11. The 7-11. All right? The Lord is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Two times, repeating the fact that the sovereign God of the universe is in every circumstance and every situation. Christian, can I help you to understand tonight? Just like there are those that have robbed us of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we're afraid to talk about the power and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, lest someone think that we're off on a tangent somewhere. Can I tell you, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit of God is in my life, and Christian, He's in your life. Aren't you glad that we have the Spirit of God who is our comforter, our helper, our enabler, the one who makes the things of Christ real to us? Don't let anybody rob you of the blessed sweetness of the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. And listen, let me tell you this. Don't ever let anyone rob you of the wonder of the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. There are those that have went off on the deep end about the sovereignty of God, and that God chooses who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost, and He chooses who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. Can I just remind us now that did not come from the Bible. That is a commandment and a doctrine of men, not the truth of God. You never come to that conclusion reading the Bible. You say, preacher, what conclusion do you come to? That whosoever will, let him come. That's the conclusion. You say, well, why do you come to that conclusion? Because God said it over and over and over again.
That's good, man.
But I'm glad tonight that my God is sovereign. Aren't you? He's sovereign. That the sovereign God of the universe is with me in every circumstance and every situation. The highs, the lows, the good times, the bad times, when the seas are calm and when they're stormy and raging. No matter what we're facing, the Lord is with us. He's a sovereign helper. His sovereignty is communicated to us in these verses. Look at verse number 10. All right, we're going to skip a couple. We're going to come back to them. Be still and know that I am God. Do you know why the world doesn't know God? Because they won't be still. I like silence. I can ride for hours in silence, communing, talking to the Lord. I'm not trying to lift myself up spiritually. I'm not a spiritual giant. You know me. I got problems and struggles just like everybody else. But to be still. Can I tell you, if you've got always something blaring in your ear, other than something good and godly, you have a hard time hearing the voice of God. You ever wondered why people ride around with their music turned up so loud, other than they want you to hear it? It drowns out the voice of God. I can't hear God talking to me. Be still. Christian, do you know why we don't know God better than we know Him? Because we don't get still. Be still and know that I am God. The implication is that here that God is God and God alone. There's not any. He has no equal. He has no rival. He's in a class all by Himself. Amen. Let me give you a couple verses. They're probably in your notes. Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom shall you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Sometimes when I talk to the Lord, I remind Him, God, there's nobody but You. There's nobody like You. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I'll be preaching later on in Guyana, South America, to Hindus and their 500 million gods. And this will be something that I'll remind them. Oh, I don't preach against their gods. I don't do that. I just preach about my God. And then I'll ask them, I'll tell them what my God's done for me, and then I'll say, now, let me ask you this. What has your God done for you? And you know what? They don't have an answer because their God can't do anything for them.
That's right.
And it draws them to our God. Because our God has no equal. There's no one like Him. Two little boys were sitting in a sandbox talking. It's a good place to talk, isn't it? And they were talking about God. That's a good thing to talk about. And one of the boys said, well, how many gods are there? And his friend said, there's only one. And the boy, appearing not to be satisfied with that answer, said, well, how do you know there's only one God? And his friend quickly replied, he said, because there's only room for one, and He fills heaven and earth. Now, y'all think about that, and you'll get it in a little bit. That's what Solomon said, 1 Kings 8:27. He was talking about the temple and God filling the temple with His presence. He said, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain Thee. How much less this house that I build. And God, when I began to think about this building that I build and this room, the Holy of Holies that we built for You to abide in among us here on the earth, and then I think about Your greatness and Your vastness, I'm reminded that the very heaven of heavens, that You're greater than the universe itself. How in the world can a God so great dwell in such a small place? I want to take you one further. How can a God so great dwell inside something so small? I'm glad He's not a far-off God. He's a near-at-hand God. Aren't you glad the Lord of hosts is with us tonight? There's no one like Him. God is greater than all the universe. He alone fills heaven and earth. Now, how do you understand sovereignty, preacher? You got that word sovereignty there in your notes, okay? I want you to underline the middle word in there, okay? R-E-I-G-N. Underline that. Sovereignty. You see that little word reign? Sovereignty simply means that our God reigns. You know what it means? That our God's in charge. That's what it means. God not only rules over all, but He overrules all. Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. When you think of a kingdom, you think of dominion and rule. And the psalmist said, God, it's not just a region, it's not just a landmass, it's not just the world. You rule over everything. God, You're in control. I remind you of the psalmist's counsel during difficult times, be still and know that I am God. Let loose, relax, slacken. When troubles come, we tense up, we worry, we get frantic, we panic. That's what's going to happen back in Psalm 34. When we get there, David's going to be in a tight spot and he's going to panic. You know what? Trouble comes when we panic. God said, don't panic. Get still. Stop trying. Start trusting. Know by perception. Know by discovery. You know what? This doesn't come naturally. It comes by experience as we begin to learn to trust God through the troubles of life. And God allows small troubles into our life to show Himself faithful, to teach us to trust Him. Because there's going to be times that the big troubles are going to come. And if I can trust Him in the small things, then I'm ready to trust Him in the larger things in life. I'm glad that nothing that happens in our universe escapes His notice. Whatever happens in our universe is part of His sovereign plans and purposes. I'm glad that my God is sovereign. He communicates that. But then His sovereignty is demonstrated. Look at verse number 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. I like that. It's an invitation. It means to go on a walk. It means to take a journey. Behold, to see. It's really more than just seeing. It involves emotion. It means to see with excitement. And notice He says, come, behold the works of the Lord. See what God has done. We heard a testimony tonight about a couple that took the tithe challenge and began to obey God and tithe biblically. And it's come, see what God's done. Let me show you what God's done in our lives. That's what it is. Maybe for you, it's come see what the Lord's done. And we give Him the credit, Him the glory. This is what God's done in our lives. Come see. Begins to mention here, He said, come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. Look at verse 9. He maketh the wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Now I remind you that many believe the setting of this psalm was in the Assyrian invasion of Judah. And the Assyrian armies have surrounded the city of Jerusalem. And they're in fear, and they've sent a message to Hezekiah and the people saying, listen, none of the other gods of the peoples we've conquered is deliver them. What makes you think your God's going to deliver you? And you remember, He goes into the presence of God. He takes the blasphemy. He takes the mockery. He takes the ridicule. He takes the arrogancy and the pride of Rabshakeh and Sennacherib and the Assyrian armies. And He takes it before God into the presence. He said, God, we're helpless. We can't do anything. Lord, we're at their mercy. God, we're at your mercy. God, did you hear what they're saying about you? God said, I've heard them. Isaiah, you can tell Hezekiah, I've heard what they've said. I've heard their rage against me. You go tell Hezekiah, not one arrow will land in the city of Jerusalem. I will defend my city. That's what he said. By the way, can I tell you that we call it the city of David? It's actually, notice the psalmist here calls it the city of God. The city of God. It's God's city. By the way, the Muslims claim it. The Jewish people claim it, and of course God has allowed them to have it, but ultimately the city belongs to God. He can give it to whoever He wants to. Amen. And that's who He's chosen to give it to. But you and I will inhabit that city one day as well. That night, we know the historical record in Isaiah 36 and 37, 1 Kings, that God's going to send an angel and 185,000 Assyrians will die in one night. God will wipe out the entire army of the Assyrians and deliver His people. I can hear it. Here's someone that snuck outside the gates of the city, so to speak. And they've went into the camp of the Assyrians. And they realize that everybody's, that they're dead corpses. That God, overnight, has delivered them. That the fear is gone, and the trouble's gone, and the problem's gone, and all of it's gone. And then they come, and they run back into the city, and they say, come, behold the works of the Lord. I want you to see what God's done. Can I tell you, Calvary Baptist Church, we need to be a place where God can work. Amen. We need to be able to go out into the street here in King and say, come, behold the Lord. Come and see what God's done. What we ought to be able to do on the job and amongst our family. What's God done in your life? Not what He... I'm thankful God saved me over 30-some years ago. I'm thankful for that. Thankful God's called me to preach. I'm thankful for... But what's God doing for you right now? Come see. Come behold. Israel had enemies. You and I have an enemy tonight, don't we? Satan seeks to work through the circumstances of life to defeat you, to discourage you, to slander God to you. to tell you God doesn't love you, He doesn't care about you, if you were going through this, because you're going through this, it's just evidence that God's not with you. What have you done? What's God punishing you for? None of that's true. It's all a lie. Remember He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. God said that we're to stand, and having done all to stand, and we can stand strong because God, the Lord, is with me. Strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Remember, the battle is the Lord's. It's the Lord's. Watch Him work. A lot of times we try to help Him out. God doesn't need me to help Him out. He needs me to follow Him. He needs me to let Him work. Let's look lastly, the sovereignty of God celebrated. We see it in verse number 10. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Did you notice verse 10, there's a change in voice or speakers? I'm in verse 9, the psalmist speaks. But when you come to verse 10, God speaks. Did you see that? Be still and know that I. It goes from talking about God to God talking to us. It comes into the first person. As God works in our lives, we're given the opportunity to praise Him, to celebrate His goodness, to the greatness in our lives, to witness of His faithfulness. If we're not careful, we'll be too busy complaining when we ought to be praising. Did you know that? Look again, verse number 11. He said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I love that. Aren't you glad the Lord's with us tonight? The great 18th century preacher, John Wesley. He's buried in Westminster Abbey in London. I saw his grave there a number of years ago when I was in London, England. If you visit his grave, you're going to find three sayings inscribed on his gravestone. The first one is, I look on the world as my parish. You know what he was saying? I am reaching the world. That's what he's saying. That ought to be our desire too. That was number one. I look on the world as my parish, my field of ministry. Number two, this is on his tombstone. God buries His workmen but continues His work. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Then this is the final one. And it's what John Wesley said when he was on his deathbed. They say that he raised his arm in triumph toward heaven and he began to repeat over and over and over again, the best of all, God is with us. The best of all, God is with us. Isn't that powerful? Here he is dying and he's saying, God is with me. God's with me. Christian, can I tell you, no matter trouble you face in life, God is with you. The Lord is with you. You can be strong. You can face the trouble. You can be the victor. You can overcome because the Lord is with you. He's your sure helper, and He's your sufficient helper, and He's your sovereign helper tonight. Aren't you glad the Lord of hosts is with you? Let's be still and know that He's God tonight. Let's do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed. And